Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here. And I'm going to be talking today about the Shepherds of Bethlehem. And I recently wrote a short little article about that, which I had in our church newsletter. And I was going to be talking about that a little bit. Why did the angels appear to them? And a couple other things I'm going to hit on real quick before we get started here as well. But let's go ahead and open our program here this afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray you would bless the program. And Lord, just pray that you would help us to be a blessing to somebody, help us to encourage believers in their walk with you, help us to point people that are searching to Christ. And Lord, again, we just pray that you would also have your hand upon our country during these difficult, troubled times, Lord. Father, bless now, again, all that we do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I hope you'll be able to join us out at our church sometime. If you're looking for a church, I heard Pastor Lutz talking before about how a number of these churches have shut down again. There's no order to shut down. I remember talking with somebody before Thanksgiving, and they were talking about how their church shut down, and I thought it was because the pastor had the coronavirus. Said no, he had it afterwards, and people in the church, no, they had it afterwards. No, it was because of the order. Well, there was never any order given for churches to shut down, and the governor here in Ohio has strongly urged churches to and encouraged churches to, and I'm not going to get off into that right now. We've talked about that enough, but there are churches shutting down again because the Grinches are out, just like the anti-turkey people were out for Thanksgiving, saying if you celebrate Thanksgiving, you're going to kill Grandma. Now they're saying if you celebrate Christmas, you're going to kill Grandma there too. You're going to kill Grandpa, I guess. We killed Grandma at Thanksgiving. He'll pardon the humor, the dark humor. But we know that we're looking at a disease that has less than 1% fatality rate. And for those that are paranoid, they can always get the vaccines that are coming out. And I have talked to so many people, heard of so many people that some of them didn't even know they had the disease until they were about over it. So we're not going to spend any length of time on that. There's other things much more important that are happening. Not that that's not important. I do want to, again, remind you, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you'll go there, you'll find links to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church. Let me invite you to our Friday night Bible study. You don't have to be a member of our church to come there. We're not trying to take people from other churches. We've had other people visit on our Friday night Bible study from other churches. They don't come on Sunday. They do come in our Friday night Bible study. And it's open to anybody that's interested, anybody would like to come. And you bring some questions. We'll talk about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, just like we do here on the radio. And so that'll be this Friday night at 7 o'clock. Our church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. It's right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. They meet right there. We can look out the meeting room window and see the toll booths for the turnpike. So we're that close. And it's in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, 5171 Brecksville Road, meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Hope you get a chance to visit us sometime. And if your church is shut down, or if you're attending a church that doesn't preach the word, as the Bible says, Paul said in 2 Timothy to Timothy, he said, preach the word. He said, come a time when people wouldn't do it, wouldn't want to hear it, wouldn't want to preach it. And we're living in that day for sure. We try to proclaim the word of God. And currently I am preaching through 1 Timothy on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, and then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. So you can join us there on Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. And then also, of course, our Friday evening Bible study is each Friday night, 7 o'clock. It goes about 2 hours. You don't have to stay the whole time if you can't. We have a lot of people who stay over afterwards, so we really fellowship and talk more. Oftentimes, we're up to an hour afterwards. So you don't have any problem if you want to stay a little longer as well. So I invite you to come out. All those are at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. All right. Well, I want to touch on something. Just heard something. Just got a notification of something as I was waiting to get on the air here. And I want to touch on this before we get into the shepherds here. But the latest with the Texas case, if you've been following, the state of Texas has filed a case with the Supreme Court, and they are contending in this case that there's improprieties and irregularities, actually things that are wrong, unconstitutional, with the election in four states, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and that it affects them because we're talking about electing the president of the United States. This case has now been accepted by the Supreme Court with a majority of 6-3. That means even John Roberts, the swing guy that was touted at one point as a conservative, but he usually swings to the left when the chips are down, he even voted to allow the court to hear this case. And these states are being sued. Now, what does this mean? Well, what this means is if the Supreme Court should rule that their votes were irregular or unconstitutional or whatever, that there's no confidence in their votes, they may conceivably disallow the electors from these four states. If these four states are not allowed to seat their electors, then what happens then? Well, on Monday, the Electoral College is supposed to cast their votes. Those votes will be opened at a combined session of the House and Senate on January the 6th, and the votes will be read. If no candidate gets 270 votes, then according to the United States Constitution, Amendment 12th Amendment, this has all been thought out, all been planned out. It's happened in the past. Don't think there were in a constitutional crisis. If anybody tells you that we're in a constitutional crisis, that's nonsense. They don't know what they're talking about. The Constitution spells it out. If nobody gets 270 votes from the Electoral College, that would be the majority needed. Then the U.S. Constitution dictates in the 12th Amendment that the U.S. House delegations will vote with a single vote, which means that they will vote for the president. The Senate will vote for the vice president. Now, the House, you say, wait a minute, the majority is of Democrats. They'll pick Joe Biden. No, the key is each state gets one vote. And so the congressional delegation of Wyoming, which I believe is one representative, will have the same voting power as the congressional delegation of New York, which has a whole bunch of Democrats, and same with the congressional delegation of Montana, which I believe is only one representative, who will have the same voting power as the congressional representative delegation of California, which has a bunch of Democrats. Well, that one, they only have one vote. So the balance is, I think the latest I heard is at least 27 clear Republican-led delegations, and perhaps three that are 50-50. That may change slightly here once the votes are finalized for, of course, the representation in the House, and the new House is seated here after the first of the year. So it's very possible that we may see Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat Speaker of the House, presiding over a House with a majority of Democrat representatives, selecting Republican Donald Trump for four more years. Wouldn't that be a sight to see? And now, will that happen that way? I don't know. And we're praying, though, that God would bless Donald Trump and our country with 4 more years. After all, he said he would bless those that bless Israel. And if you've been following the news, yet another country has, Morocco has signed a peace deal with Israel. Amazing, isn't it? None of his predecessors have been able to do. We had peace deals between Egypt and Jordan, sort of a semi-peace deal there with Jordan, back in the 70s, I believe it was, 60s maybe, or a little early. I'm trying to think when the Jordan one was. But during Jimmy Carter, Menachem Begin, in that time frame there in the 70s for Egypt. But now we've had 4 Muslim nations sign these deals. That's incredible when you think about it. And this is why our president has been put in, nominated for multiple peace prizes, Nobel Peace Prizes. You wouldn't know that from the media, would you? And certainly you didn't know that probably during the election much, because they didn't want you to know that. They didn't want you to know that this president is doing a tremendous job supporting the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And God said he would bless those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel. On that basis alone, I pray that God would not allow Biden in. The other one, of course, is his unwavering support for the unborn children. And there was just, I believe, an executive order or something signed not too long ago favoring the unborn children yet again. So continue to pray for that. I believe that God says in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 6, that those that shed hands that shed innocent blood, an abomination to God. And so certainly who's more innocent than an unborn child? And so who's more of an abomination than those that support the shedding of innocent blood like that? Biden and Harris are big proponents of. And then, of course, there's the support of God's people, the Christians, that President Trump has been very supportive of as well. So I do pray that God will bless him with 4 more years. Of course, that will also be useful in hindering the mystery of iniquity from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that's already working in the world, the globalist efforts to bring in a new world, a global order. The Great Reset is underway. President Trump and America are the biggest obstacles right now. That's why they're pulling out all the stops, all the fraud, all the manipulation to try to keep President Trump out of that office. But if God wants him there, Daniel chapter 2, I believe it is, says that God sets up kings and takes them down. If God wants him there, he'll be there. And so we're praying for that. A lot more to talk about there, and I wanted to get on to this with the Tower of the Flock, which I find very interesting, which is a key to why the shepherds in the book of Luke are the shepherds that the angels appeared in front of. And, of course, we know the story in Luke chapter 2. It says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, why did this happen? Well, let's read a little bit more here. Verse 15, Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, this is amazing, isn't it? It says, but it continues here, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, think about this. Why these shepherds? Is it just because they happened to be near Bethlehem? Well, there's more to it than that. In Genesis chapter 35, in verse 19 through 21, the Bible says, and Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. Now, this is a key phrase, the Tower of Edar. Ephratah was the ancient name of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, incidentally, means the house of bread. Isn't that kind of interesting? Remember Jesus said that he come down from heaven. He said, I am the living bread. I believe that's in John chapter 6. He said, I am the living bread, or the bread of life. I'm sorry, I am the bread of life. And so we have Bethlehem, the house of bread. And there's a tower there called the Tower of Edar, that this is near where Rachel was buried when she died after giving birth to Joseph's last son there. And this was also the birthplace of David. And remember, this is why that Mary and Joseph had to travel there, because of the census. They had to go to their ancestral home for the census and the tax. And so that's why they were headed there. David, of course, was a descendant of King David through Solomon, and Mary was a descendant of King David through David's son Nathan, I believe. But now here's where it gets kind of interesting. In Micah, we understand the prophecy also that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. I always wondered why that was Bethlehem Ephratah there, and we always call it Bethlehem. Well, that's because of Genesis chapter 35, where we saw that Ephratah was the ancient name of Bethlehem. And so here we have Bethlehem. And this isn't just any Bethlehem. There were other Bethlehems, but it's a specific one. It's the one that David was born in. And about 700 years before Jesus was born, Micah was given this prophecy. And so here's this little town. And when the angels came, they came to these shepherds outside of Bethlehem for a specific reason. The reason is also in Micah, but it's in chapter 4 and verse 8, where it says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." And this phrase, tower of the flock, is Migdol Eder, which Migdol Eder means essentially the watchtower of the flock. Now, what is this, the watchtower, tower of the flock? Well, what happened when lambs were giving birth in the lambing season, the shepherds would bring the lambs into this tower. It was kind of a fortification, and usually there'd be a lower floor where the lambs would give birth, and then the upper floor where the shepherds would stay, and also they could watch out from there and watch over everything, and for security and safety and all that. And these particular shepherds, though, they were within about 5 miles of Jerusalem. And this is what's important, because remember, under the law, they had to go to Jerusalem. People had to go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices when the temple was there. And people had to travel sometimes great distances. And since it would have been difficult, if not impossible, to carry the sacrifice with them, to bring a lamb for the sacrifice and keep it from being injured and blemished along the way, because it was a difficult and somewhat perilous journey perhaps, they could travel to Jerusalem. They could buy a lamb and they could use it, offer it up as a sacrifice. Well, where did these lambs come from? This is interesting when you realize that the Levites had shepherds who served to oversee the birth of lambs that could be used as sacrifices in the temple, lambs that could be used as the Passover lamb for people who came to Jerusalem. And they had to be born within a short distance of Jerusalem, which Bethlehem was in that range. And so these shepherds were actually overseeing the birth of sacrificial lambs. And in order to be sure that they were acceptable, as the lambs were born, they would inspect them. And if they were without blemish, if there was no problems, then they would wrap swaddling cloths around the lambs to protect them, and they would lay them in a manger-type thing in order to keep the newborn lambs calm so that they wouldn't get injured. So they were overseeing to recognize and identify sacrificial lambs. Get the picture yet? And here come these angels on high. And remember what they said. They said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ our Lord. And this, here it is, shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Exactly what they were doing for the sacrificial lambs. When these shepherds came, these were the very shepherds that identified the sacrificial lambs that were acceptable in the temple by wrapping them in swaddling clothes and lying them in a manger. When others came in, they would see a lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, and they would recognize that this lamb is an acceptable sacrifice. And here these shepherds, they hurry into Bethlehem. And I had seen at one point, somebody had suggested it was about an hour's journey into Bethlehem. So they were just not too far from there. However far out they were, they traveled in there. And when they come in and they see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, they recognized him as our sacrifice, the lamb that was slain, the Bible says. Jesus is our sacrifice. He is our Passover lamb. He is our sacrifice for sin. He is the final sacrifice that's needed. And he is the only sacrifice that can do away with all sin for all time. Now, the sacrificial lambs that the shepherds were used to seeing, they were there so that an offering could be made up, looking forward to this coming sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist, when Jesus came, what he said? "Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God." They recognized he was our sacrifice. Have you ever recognized that Jesus Christ is your sacrifice? The sacrifice for your sin? The Bible says he came and he was laid in a manger. And here's a sign. It wasn't just to the shepherds, it's to you as well. He's an acceptable sacrifice because he was the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. The angels told the shepherds to go see this. The shepherds made haste. They went there. They saw what the angels told them. And it says they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Are you praising and glorifying God today because you've seen that babe that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and realize he's the sacrifice for your sin? Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for your sin with his own blood. He died in your place. He was buried. And he rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. Trust Christ as your Savior. He's your sacrifice, the greatest Christmas present ever. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word.